Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to Charles Miller. Charles has been a farmer in our community for a long time, followed the footsteps of his dad. His mother was a school teacher. We're going to talk to Charles about himself and his family and their contribution to Jessamine County. Right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning. We continue our trek in finding out about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. With me today, we're going to be talking to a fella who we could probably do a show just on him. We're going to include his parents into it also because they were very well known in our community. His dad was a farmer. His mom was a school teacher. And his name is Charles Miller. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you coming in and talking to us here on All Things Jessamine. A lot of people, of course, know your family, especially those who have been around here for a while. But I guess for those people who are listening that may be new or somewhat new, we want to start by kind of telling where everybody came from and how they got here and that kind of stuff. So let's start with your dad's side. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Miller and his relationship to the county and what you know about him.
Well, my dad was born and raised in Jessamine County.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, was born in a house that still stands down at Sufferwell.
Yeah.
The old house where Billy Walker used to live. Moved from there when he was about 5 years old to a log cabin, if you will, on the Tom Mackey farm.
Yeah.
Lived there till he was about 16, and then they moved on the Denny farm, which mm-hmm. is off Union Mill,
mm-hmm.
Into another log house. And that's where they lived in for quite some time. Yeah.
So he was brought up in a number of different places, but he found all the log cabins.
Yeah, somehow or other, but that probably wasn't as unusual because he was born in 1900.
Yeah.
And that probably wasn't as unusual to find right. one back at that period of time.
Did his family always farm?
Yes. Yeah. My grandfather farmed, and as far as I know, family's about the fifth, possibly sixth generation of Millers to live here, and
yeah.
they were all farmers to one degree or another, I
right.
think.
What did your dad specialize, or did he specialize? You just kind of do it all?
As did all farmers back at that point in time. He just general agriculture, of course, raised tobacco. They raised hemp at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather raised hemp during the First World War to be used as for rope.
Right.
Second World War, my dad and grandfather again raised hemp to be used as oil during that period of time.
I didn't know they made oil out of hemp.
Yes,
I did.
Yes.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I've still got his hemp sheet where they beat that hemp seed out.
Yeah.
And it's just as oily as it can be.
Even to this day.
Even to this day.
And of course, at one time, Jessamine County, I mean, was one of the leading manufacturers of hemp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywhere around, I
right.
guess.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had sheep. He kind of specialized in raising dairy heifers. Every farm was a dairy farm at that point in time.
Yeah.
Everybody milked a few cows.
Yeah.
And my dad, he would raise a lot of baby calves, not a lot, but some baby calves, and raise them up and sell dairy heifers, dairy mm-hmm. cows to folks mm-hmm. around.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your mom then. Now, was she from here also?
Well, you know, that's kind of odd. Originally, she was from here. When she was, I think, 8 years old, they moved to Garrett County.
And, okay.
She lived then in Garrett County over on Mount Hebron Road then till she and my dad married in mm-hmm. 1930. So she did an interesting story when they did live here. My grandfather ran the livery stable that was right next to and not only adjacent to, but I guess attached to the Walker Hotel.
Really, down here on Main Street?
Yes, yes. And every...
That wasn't... I remember hearing about that. In fact, I think Dad drew a picture of it at one time.
I think
it seems
right.
like L&N, maybe? I'm trying to think, and it's hard to remember. But I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. I'd forgotten about it, but it was right there next in that parking lot now, I guess.
It is, and later became a garage
yeah.
that people used to take their vehicles to. But anyway, it was a livery stable, excuse me, originally.
Yeah.
And every afternoon, my mom would get in the buggy and ride with Cricket Walker from the Walker Hotel to the depot to pick up folks to stay at the hotel overnight.
Wow.
And one afternoon, she got in the buggy, and the horses ran away with it. And they ran all the way the length of Main Street to the north end of town.
Yeah.
And my grandfather was able to call or do something, and somebody stopped the horses.
Oh, my
goodness. I always thought that was an interesting story, you know, and it actually happened. I've heard it from several different people,
Well, and, you know, for younger people who are listening to our show, and we have some, first off, a livery stable is where you would go to have your horse shoed and things like that. And secondly, there was horses down here. In fact, for a long time, and we have pictures of it, there was a couple of water pumps over here on the corner at the courthouse where you actually could water your horse when you rode to town. So, yeah, that actually did happen.
Well, and this would have been in 19, my mom was born in 1902. This would have been in 1907.
So
there were still horse and buggies here.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, you've answered another question that just came up a few days ago when we were talking about. I have a picture. This is completely nothing to do with the Millers, but you brought up Cricket Walker.
Yeah.
Well, I have a picture of the sign that used to be on the side of Walker Hotel that said Walker Hotel. And what's interesting about it, and I don't know why, but between the L and the K, there is an apostrophe. And somebody wondered if maybe it was two people that owned it together, the Wallington and the Kerr. We didn't know, but we couldn't figure out why that apostrophe. But if you're saying Cricket Walker, it was a Walker that owned it.
So I feel like that.
We don't know why, still don't know why that apostrophe is in that sign. But that's very interesting. So now, how did your mother and your dad meet each other? How did that come about?
Well, I've asked this question of them in years past, naturally, but they met at a dance down at Silverwell.
Yeah.
Miss Ethel Foster, Miss Ethel Ware, was a cousin of my mother, and there was a dance there. It, you know, folks used to do that in their homes.
Sure.
And so that's where they met originally.
How long would that have been? The 20s?
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere back there.
My mother started teaching in Garrett County over at the community called Mance. As a matter of fact, she, prior to her death, she got a little certificate from the state that was awarded to everybody that had taught in a one-room log school.
Really?
Yeah.
And
she got one of those, which she was very proud of. And then she taught then at Buena Vista and was teaching at Buena Vista when she and my dad met and got married later.
Well, before she started teaching, I would assume that she had some kind of formal education to be a teacher.
Well, she did, and not to the extent that folks have to have now.
Right.
But she attended the Eastern State Teachers College, which now is Eastern University, of course.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But she went there for, I think,
over in Richmond. And that's right. It was called that before it became Eastern Kentucky University.
Right.
In fact, that's why I think it was formed, was for a to teach people how to teach. I think it was formed. Did your dad have formal education?
Eighth grade.
But he learned, he got a lot of common sense, and he knew what to do as far as the business.
And that wasn't uncommon back
then. That's exactly right. Now, at some point in time, they I guess she continued to teach. Did she teach here in Chessman County once she got married,
Well, no. Once they got married, she did not teach here until later years.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I guess she started back when, once I was in grade school, fourth or fifth grade, she started back teaching. And taught then until she retired in the mid-70s.
Okay. But they lived here.
Yes, lived here.
Now, did they live out on where you are now?
When they first got married, they lived on what's called the Coleman Farm out on Surfwell Road.
Yeah.
Lived there in 1930, right during the Depression. Yeah. So you can imagine getting married and starting out during the Depression.
Yeah.
They were there for a couple of years, and then they moved to farm on Beaumont Road where my grandfather lived, and lived there then till they bought where we presently own in 1944. They bought from Mr. Tom Beaumont the 44 acres that was always called the Beaumont Place,
and of course the road named for him.
And lived there then till they both passed, and,
right,
and we still are there
you're
today.
Still there today. Now, at some point in time in their early lives, I guess they decided it was time for family, and you came along.
It was pretty late, though, when they made that decision.
Yeah.
I was born in 1945, which would meant that my dad was 45. He was born in 1900, and my mom then was 43. So
yeah, they did start kind of late, didn't they? And you're the only child.
I'm the only child. And again, as the story goes, as related by them, and I guess we can talk about this. She thought I was a tumor for a long time.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Didn't realize she was pregnant.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. But much to her surprise, yeah. that tumor yeah. named Charles.
Yeah.
So you grew up around the farm. I mean, you as a young boy probably helped with the cows and all that kind of stuff. I saw a post not long on Facebook. Somebody said, "Sheriff, you know what this is?" Yeah. And it was sucker and tobacco. Yeah. And I thought, "Yep, I do." And yeah. I know you do, of course. Yeah. But you grew up around all of that. Was it pretty much as a young boy? Was that your thought that this is what I'm going to do?
I don't know that I developed that idea as a young person growing up. But I certainly was around it every day, yeah. and it kind of became natural to me as right. time went by. And I know my dad always said, now I can't verify this, but he always said that the first word that I ever said was cow. Now, whether that was true or not, or whether he wanted it to be, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But anyway, I used to go with him to deliver some of those dairy heifers we talked about earlier there, and I can remember. But I was always around that mm-hmm. lifestyle, which a lot of people were at that
They
period.
Were. And, of course, you were involved in something that a lot of the farming kids, and I say farming kids, back then, I guess, it was mainly the males who were involved in FFA. In oh. fact, weren't you the head of the state organization at one time?
Yes, I was very fortunate as a senior in high school to be elected as state president.
State president.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we've been very fortunate in our community a lot of years to have some great leaders in the FFA, not just county, but, all, you know, Howard Downing, I think of. You were state president. I mean, there was others that really were involved. And Bradshaw.
Billy,
yeah. There's several of them that I can think about that the great program, which still continues today. And I guess you had Mr. Veal.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he would have been your leader.
Had Mr. Veal, very, very instrumental in really what I guess you could say what I am today.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he was pretty hard on us, but now he knew mm-hmm. if you had something that you needed to try to develop. And I feel like what little speaking ability that I might have today is in large part due to Harlan Veal.
Because of that.
He worked on that.
And that's one thing, Charles, that a lot of people I don't know really understand about FFA, and maybe they don't have a reason to, but it's not just teaching a kid how to raise a crop of tobacco or raise a cow. There's more to it than that.
Oh, much
You're talking more. About the speaking. I mean, that in itself is a great part of FFA and learning how to address the public and things like that, more than just learn how to farm.
To me, it's one of the most defining leadership activities that mm-hmm. a young person can have. And I don't mean to belittle 4-H in that. 4-H does
right.
the same thing.
Right.
But FFA really concentrates on leadership development,
yeah.
and that is very, very important. And
of course, now, and I don't know when this started, but females have become a great part, as equal as males, maybe a lot of more so sometimes, in our communities in the last several years. Whereas before, I guess probably when you were growing up, it was probably male-dominated.
Well, it was still male-dominated when I was state president in the 60s. As a matter of fact, Judy, my wife, of course, she was one of our FFA sweethearts, you know.
Yeah,
they were elected back at that point in time. And but then you know, girls began to get involved, as was a good thing.
Right.
And today, gosh, a lot of the leadership positions nationally as well as state and locally are held by young women, which is a tremendous thing.
Sure it is. Now, when you got out of high school, was there a point where you said, okay, yeah, this is it. This is my life. Farming is what I want to do. Was it during that time? Did you go on to college to study agriculture or something else? What happened there?
I did. I enrolled in the university, and I attended the university for a year, and I did not graduate from the university. But, yeah, at that point in time, I pretty well knew that agriculture and particularly farming, production agriculture was where I wanted to be. It just... Well, it was a lifestyle, as we have discussed, but also it was something that I was just really interested in and beginning to be passionate about.
Right, right. You enjoyed it. Yeah. It was your life. And, of course, back then, what year would that have been? What year did you graduate high school?
63.
Jessamine County High.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, Jessamine County was still a farming community.
That's true.
You know, most of the income came from the farming community, unlike today.
Yeah.
And I know this is probably something that you can't pinpoint, but assuming that back in 63, 75% was farming, what would it be today?
Gosh, I can't pinpoint that, and I probably should be able to, given some of the extension figures we've looked at. I would say, you know, as a total county income, I would say less than 40%.
Yeah.
Maybe in the 30s. I'm not sure, but...
Because you just don't see it like you used to.
Yeah.
I remember one day.
And if I may interrupt, what you do see is on a larger scale than it used to be.
Yeah.
Whether it be cattle production, tobacco production, still it's there.
Uh-huh.
Horse production, of course, is very much a part of that. But it tends to be, I guess, a little more isolated, but on a larger scale.
Rather than spread out different places.
Right.
I remember a couple of years ago, I came across one of the back roads from Fayette County to going home, and I rounded the curve and saw, I had to stop and take a picture of it, one of the most beautiful tobacco patches that I had seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me, I haven't seen one of these in a long time.
Right.
And it was so amazing, I actually had to get out of the car and take a picture with my phone of that crop, because I was like, oh, my gosh. My kids, of course, the oldest of them being 20, has no clue of that lifestyle, does not know what it means to walk into a barn and get on the top rail and hand up and tie in a hand and pull the reds, and just no clue.
Yeah.
But it is a whole different world for a lot of our people now, the way farming is. Yeah. Now, you mentioned this sweetheart a while ago. Let's go back to her. How did you and Judy meet? And it's interesting, I think, that Judy decided it would be much easier with her embroidered towels to not have to change them because she was a miller.
Right.
Yeah, that's so how did true. All that come about?
Well, we met in high school. I guess you could use the term that we were high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
But that relationship, of course, followed through. Her dad farmed. Her mom and dad both farmed, and she often says that I fell in love with her dad instead of her, but I don't think that's hardly true, but she has said that. But anyway, that's where we met, and then that relationship grew, and we've been together for 51 years now, so 51. I guess it stuck somewhere.
Congratulations. Yeah, 51. Of course, her dad, Russell Miller, and mom, Mildred, who worked in the courthouse for many years, too, and that's a whole other show right there about Russell and Mildred.
Well, her dad was Ray.
I'm sorry, not Russell, Ray.
Russell was a brother,
but that's my mistake. You're right. And now, you two got married and children. Tell us about Tracy.
Well, we had one daughter. Tracy was born in 1970, and we never really intended to stop at one. I guess we just never did get around to having any more. But Tracy has done well. She has. We've got three grandchildren, and they now live in close to New Albany, Indiana, just across the river from Louisville. She and Jimmy, our son-in-law, both work in Louisville, so that's pretty convenient for them to get to and from work and whatever.
What do they do?
Jimmy works. He's an electrician at Ford, Motor Company. Mm-hmm. They're out by the airport, the plant that builds the escapes, and I'm not sure what else. And then Tracy works for a company that provides training, software, and program development for adult and family education.
Good.
A nationwide company that she works with.
Sure. And, of course, the grandkids aren't spoiled a bit.
No.
What is it? You've been in farming all these years now, and I know you've not only been in farming, you're involved in some other things too. You mentioned extension and board. Gosh, you've been on probably a lot of different boards that have to do with farming and things like that. Seen a lot of big changes. What is one of the biggest change, I guess, other than maybe just the fact that farming is not the mainstay as it used to be, but what some of the big changes you've seen in that community over the years?
Well, I think that, like every other industry, technology has brought some tremendous changes to production agriculture, particularly the beef industry. I guess I could use an old cliche and say, though, probably after all is said and done, no matter how much it changes, it still remains about the same.
Yeah.
Basically, But yeah. Then, you know, we've had so much advancement in technology, so much advancement, particularly in the beef industry, as well as production, grain crops and what have you, in genetic development, in all of the areas that go into nutrition and those things, that have really gone a long way to enable production agriculture, not just here, but across the country, to be the worldwide force that it is today.
Yeah.
We've grown tremendously in the last 50 years.
What is Kentucky's cash crop now? It used to be tobacco, of course. What would it be considered today?
I guess the cash crop would be probably corn, soybeans. There's a tremendous amount grown in western Kentucky, as well as central and south central Kentucky. We don't think about it as much here in Jessamyn County, but those acreages that you see out there, by and large, are very large acreages that belong to or are raised by folks in other counties. You know, they come here and rent that land. So I think probably today, crop-wise, we would have to say corn, soybeans would be the major cash crops.
What kind of farming are you doing nowadays?
We have concentrated for several years on strictly beef cattle. We got out of the tobacco business. Well, we didn't get out with the buyout, but shortly after, we were contracting there for several years, and then the labor began to be such an issue, and everything was weather dependent and that type of thing. So we went strictly into beef cattle production, and we've been doing for several years what's called a backgrounding operation, where we buy lighter weight calves, bring them in, take them to another weight of 800 to 900 pounds, and then send them on to feed yards to be finished. So we do that. We also we also have a cow calf operation. Judy, when her father passed, then she took over his cow herd, and then since we've added to that. So we're strictly into beef cattle production.
You mentioned beef cattle. One of the first things that I, as a layperson, think of is our great Beef Cattle Association here in Jessamyn County that is so, so very active. And folks, you've seen them. You've smelled their product when they are sitting out cooking those ribeye steaks and hamburgers. But what you may not know, it would be interesting to know the amount of money that that group has given away to different civic organizations. Hospice comes to mind, different one, all kinds of different ones over the years. I would dare say one of the most successful associations of its type in this state, probably.
It is, and I certainly am proud of our Beef Cattle Association. I had the good fortune and honor to be state president of the Kentucky Cattlemen Association and had the opportunity to visit counties across the state during that tenure. And I'll have to say ours is one of the major beef cattle associations in the state. We do a tremendous amount of cooking, like you say. A lot of that, we cook for two reasons. We cook, first of all, to promote beef.
Sure.
But then secondly, we try to give back to the community.
And you have.
And the community has supported us over the years so very much. And I think I'm right, this past year, I'm not going to put a definite figure, but I think between $15,000 and $20,000 went back to either local charities or into the local community somewhere.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And but that money came from the community.
That's right. And you've been doing this for several years.
We've done this for a lot of years.
You multiply that out, it's quite a big number. I'm going to mention something to you and just give me the facts, because I know over the years that you have received some different awards, but let's talk about 2001 Progressive Farmer. Seems like you won an award. In fact, I have a little picture of it right here, the Progressive Farmer Man of the Year in Service to Kentucky Agriculture. Tell us about that.
Well, that was, I guess that was based on some of the accomplishments that I had been able to work with other people to bring about. That was during the time when our ag development funds, the tobacco settlement funds, began to take place and come back into Kentucky agriculture. And we had worked for quite some time to help get that done through the legislature and what have you. We had worked to establish what was called the Kentucky Beef Network, which used those funds then to help educate producers about some of the technologies that we talked about earlier. So it was based on some of the activities that I had been fortunate enough to be able to work with other people on, and the fact that I had been, you know, a part of the Kentucky Cattlemen Association mm-hmm. and that type of thing. So probably bottom line, they needed somebody to fill that slot that year, I think.
I doubt that.
But anyway, I was quite proud of sure. that, as well as my family was. And,
sure.
And it was an honor.
You know? Sure it is. It's still doing any auctioneering?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, helping. Are you still Charles?
I've worked with Charles for, we don't know how many years,
yeah.
but 25 anyway, I know.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've got a good relationship and enjoy working together. And yeah, I enjoy. I've never tried to be an auctioneer to make a living.
Right.
But it's something I've always enjoyed.
Yeah.
Always enjoyed doing.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing, if you think about it, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking about some auctioneers that we've had in the past in our county. Just about all of them were involved somewhat with agriculture.
Right.
I mean, from Bill Locker to Red Stinnett to Cecil Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, and all the Collins. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seems like that just kind of lends itself
yeah.
to that occupation is the farming community.
Well, I think historically in a rural community, auctioneers concentrated on settlement of agricultural mm-hmm. estates or
mm-hmm.
or families involved in rural lifestyle. And then that may be not as much so today, even though that is a big part of it. But yeah, that heritage has kind of come down through the years
yeah.
and people have been involved. Like
yeah.
that.
You've seen a lot of changes. You've been here all your life and you've seen a lot of changes in this town. You've seen a lot of changes in your occupation. As you said, a lot of things have changed in ways that we can't even imagine. I know as a young boy, I can remember the gentleman driving up in the old rickety truck and picking up my grandmother's milk cans to take it off to the yeah. processor.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays I'm sure that is a totally different way of
yeah.
doing
yeah.
things. But it's amazing how even though you may not think you see the farms that we used to have, it's still getting done. We're still contributing in that community. People like you and others are still doing this job. Very important job. In fact, so important that it made this county what it is, the farming community.
I think that's very true. And,
yeah.
and along that same line of thought, Judy and I host or have for several years Leadership Jessamine County. They
mm-hmm.
have a day that they have an agricultural day.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the group that came out and they had lunch out at the farm and we talked about what we did and Jessamine County agriculture in general. And I had a gentleman come up after it was over and say to me, "This has been tremendous. I didn't realize there was any agriculture in Jessamine County."
Really?
So you don't think about people
yeah.
having that mindset.
Yeah.
It's here, and it's still
here.
Very much a part of the county's economy
yeah.
and a fabric of the county, I think.
Well, of course, you know, we have a lot of people, Charles, that the only time they come downtown is to get their car license and their driver's
sure.
license. And, right. and so they're not out in the areas like where you live.
Right.
And places like that. You mentioned Sufferwell and places like that to see those things.
Yeah.
So, and for some reason, and I don't know why, but for some reason, when people think of a horse farm, they don't think of it agriculture. It is. And I don't know why they don't equate that. But anyway, something I wanted to ask you about has nothing to do with farming, but I know it was, you mentioned your mother a while ago, and I meant to bring it up. When she got to go to RUP.
Oh, yes.
And that was her, well, how old was she?
Well, she was, she died at 94, but that
okay.
she was about,
90, maybe it was her 90, 90th birthday. That's what it was.
90.
Yeah.
She had always been a big UK fan.
Yeah.
And if I can back up just to where we talked about earlier, about her teaching at Buena Vista in Garrett
uh-huh.
County, they wanted to start a basketball team, and the only way they could have a basketball team, they have to have a chaperone, if you will,
okay.
to go with them.
Okay.
She became the chaperone.
Really?
She wasn't married at that time. And that's where her love for basketball stemmed from.
Yeah.
And she was always a lifelong UK fan and had never been to a game, and J.F. and Sherry Hall, we worked together at that period of time, decided that they wanted to take her to the Blue-White game,
uh-huh.
which is the preseason scrimmage.
Right.
And they did that. That was at up at Memorial Coliseum. She just loved Travis Ford at that point in time.
Oh, yeah.
And
would that have been Patino? Was he coach?
Yes.
Okay.
When the team went in at halftime, Sherry Hall stopped Coach Patino because she was in a wheelchair. And being in a wheelchair, she got to sit kind of down on mm-hmm. the end zone where the mm-hmm. baskets were back mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And she stopped Coach Pitino and asked him if this lady could meet Travis Ford after the halftime. Well, when they came out, he brought Travis Ford over, and they had a big conversation wow. and that type of thing. And before Coach Pitino left, and I have my differences with Coach Pitino, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for this. He asked us, has your mom ever been to a game? And
yeah.
We said, no, this was the first time.
Right.
He said, we'll call, you check back this season, and I'm going to get her tickets for a game. Well, this was a major college coach, and there's a
sure.
lot going on.
Sure.
Who would have thought that he would have
right.
remembered that?
Right.
Nothing ever happened. The last game of the season
uh-huh.
in Rupp Arena, we got a call to come by and pick up tickets to the last game of the
yeah.
season, which was against Florida up there in Rupp.
Yeah.
And
I hope they played better than they did this last
yeah.
time.
She went. She was two rows behind the bench.
Really?
Sitting directly in front of her was Jamal Mashburn, who had played, of course, a couple of three seasons earlier.
Yeah.
And she couldn't help herself. She had to reach. He had big bodyguards uh-huh. on each side. She had to reach over and tap him on the shoulder. And he turned around, and at that moment, there was a picture taken and was in the Herald Leader. And
yes.
We've got those
yes.
pictures. But that was just quite a thing that took place.
Yeah.
And
highlight of her life.
Oh, yeah. And she enjoyed that so much. So very much yeah.
That's amazing. As we wrap this up, a lot of people remember your dad. A lot of people remember your mom. How would you describe them? What's a word you'd use to describe your dad?
Well, you know, as I said, my dad had an eighth grade education, which wasn't uncommon back at that period of time. But gosh, he had a tremendous amount of common sense, and he liked people.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
he was a deputy sheriff there for several years with Vernon Burton, and then
yeah.
later with Wayne Hunter. And you know, he was friends with everybody from the president of the First National Bank at
mm-hmm,
that time
mm-hmm.
to whoever he would see mm-hmm. out here on the street, and
mm-hmm.
he'd stop and talk to those
mm-hmm.
folks, and he was just generally like to talk
yeah.
to people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that, I guess, I looking back on it, I think of him as a good citizen, if you will. That's just a good way to describe him.
Yeah.
He was just a good, down-to-earth, solid citizen.
What about your mom?
Well, my mom was very much, naturally, being a teacher, she was very much interested in education. She was very much interested in trying to do the right thing by
mm-hmm.
everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess although those two people together influenced my life, and I hope I reflect in a little ways those interests
sure.
that they had, you know. But she was, and one of the greatest things in my life, even today, and gosh, she retired teaching in the mid-70s, even today, just a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody come up and tell me, your mom was my teacher in the fourth
mm-hmm.
grade. And I just thought the world and all
mm-hmm.
of her. And that really means something to me to have that happen, because she was so interested in their students. She was so interested in trying to give the ones that needed it most an individual
mm-hmm.
effort.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I think in today's fast-paced school days, it's harder to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But she was interested in those kids, and that has been the case, and that's followed through. And like I say, it's just so satisfying to have people come up and tell
sure
you
it is.
That.
You know? And, you know, a subject that has come up on this program many, many times and is proven over and over, that you just truly don't know what kind of influence that you today are going to have on somebody years from now. You just don't know, and that's one of those lessons that we should all heed, is that your actions today could mean a big difference in somebody's life, and you may never know it. And usually teachers are the ones you hear that about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, during school, a lot of times, especially nowadays, you hear about, oh, I can't stand that teacher, I'll be glad to get out of here. A little age on those people, and then they're thinking, man, she or he really
yeah.
was great to me. So
right. Right.
Yeah, we have to sometimes age a little bit for our brains to start working.
Well, that's true. To at least absorb what they need.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Charles, our time is up, but I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming in. And thanks to the Miller family for their contributions to our community, and the ones that you and Judy are still making in our community, and especially in the agriculture business and the cattle, and just in all kinds of ways. It's not just that. It's just, as you said, being your dad being an all-around good citizen, I think that has filtered on down to you guys, too. And I appreciate you and what you've done for our Jessamine County here.
Well, thank you, and I've enjoyed being here.
My thanks to Charles for coming in and sharing about his family and their contribution to our county. We appreciate you coming in every morning at 11 o'clock, also for All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week. Don't forget, I'm on every weekday morning with my regular show from 6 until 8 a.m. And it's all for you right here on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.